Hi, I'm Graham Lasso, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat with Chris, Craig, and Brady.
Welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Chelsea Repeat preview pod. Now, I know what you're thinking. Chris and Craig's voices have gotten a little bit more cockney. But this isn't an illusion. It's me, Brady. And we're going to be doing one myself, probably sometimes with, I won't say special guests, because they are a key part of the podcast as well, obviously. But it'll be kind of me, I think, doing these previews on a Friday. Unfortunately, I don't really work Fridays, because I actually work Sunday to Thursday in my job. So that's pretty good timing for, you know, getting some hot news off the press in terms of pressers and things like that. And speaking of hot news, Chelsea have been the big news, which I'm sure the football world was like eager to anticipate. You know, it was really like hot news for them, was that Chelsea will face FC Copenhagen in the last 16 of the Conference League, which actually is a very good draw for Chelsea, all jokes aside, because in the state that we're in at the moment, it was either Copenhagen or Real Betis, who, you know, aren't exactly world beaters. Sorry, Real Betis fans. But yeah, we actually drew Copenhagen, and we've actually got a much very favourable side of the draw. Can't actually believe that I'm saying that in the Conference League. But we are on the opposite side of the draw to Betis, Fiorentina and Panathinaikos, who are actually playing each other. Obviously, Panathinaikos, who played already and beat 4-0. So yeah, we'll be playing Copenhagen, first of all, at their place, at the Parken Stadium in Copenhagen, obviously, on Thursday the 6th of March. And the return leg will be at the Bridge on March the 13th. Which actually is a bit of a touch for us, because it actually sandwiches in that those two games sandwich the Leicester game on the 9th of on the Sunday the 9th. So that is a nice little sequence of events for us. We've got Copenhagen, Leicester, then Copenhagen again. You know, we've got some tough games around that time later on, Arsenal and Tottenham, and it wasn't kind of wrapped around those in terms of fixture in the fixture pileup. So it's actually done very well for us. So yeah, good news. And I mean, let's be honest, it would be a bit of a disgrace if we don't win the competition. But we do have what looks like a pretty easy route to the final, at least. And you would say likely it would be Fiorentina that we'll face, maybe Betis. They're the second and third favourites, but we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, a good draw for us in the end. Yeah, so moving on to the presser. I'm recording just in the afternoon, just after the presser for our presser for the game against Aston Villa tomorrow afternoon at 5:30. Yeah, I mean, Maresca, first of all, well, naturally the first question that he was asked was about the injuries. I'm going to take a little deep breath here, not because I'm nervous for doing my first solo pod, which I am a little bit, which you might be able to tell. But I'm going to do a little deep breath because we have got quite a lot of injuries. So Madueke joins Fofana, Badiashile, Lavia, Jackson and Guiyu. That was all right, I didn't mean deep breath. It's only six players. Nothing like last year where we had about 15 players out. But Madueke joins that list of players out in terms of Fofana, Badiashile, Lavia, Jackson and Guiyu. So we've got six, well, not with Guiyu, but you'd probably say probably Badiashile's like half of first team. So four and a half first teamers out. But they do make a big difference. I mean, having Lavia out and Jackson out has clearly affected the team very negatively. Unfortunately for Madueke, he's been plagued by the hamstring epidemic that seems to be going on in football at the moment. If you actually rewatch the game, I think he actually pulls his hamstring and then actually, well, bless him, kind of still tries to get the ball in the Cole Palmer, like shanked wide. And I think he kind of almost double-teared it. But either way, he's out apparently till the international break. So I think all of these players, actually, Maresca mentioned that will be out to the international break. So we might have kind of feast in the famine, or famine in the feast, as you call it, where we're going to have six players back for that Tottenham game on the 2nd of April. So yeah, we're going to have to, and as Maresca said herself in the press, so we're going to have to kind of just survive till then. So, but luckily we do have a fairly, I wouldn't say easy, but a favourable fixture run. We've got Villa away, which is a tough fixture, but obviously we've done traditionally pretty well there at Villa Park over the years. And then we've got Southampton at home, Leicester at home, as I mentioned, and Arsenal away, which obviously is a really easy game. But I'm only joking. But yeah, I mean, Arsenal obviously at that time probably won't have all their players back. So, and in terms, and again, like I mentioned again, in terms of the Copenhagen draw wrapped around that Leicester game, we're going to have six games before the international break, but not too challenging in terms of there could have been a lot worse. The fixtures, I mean, that Southampton Leicester game, and even though we're going to be previewing the Villa game today, they're going to be must win, really. And yeah, with all these injuries, it is unfortunate, but the fixtures might help us a little bit in kind of navigating this difficult time. Now, Maresca's pressers, I have to say, you know, as we know on the Eat Sleep Chelsea Repeat pod, I was a massive Thomas Tuchel fanboy. And I used to love his pressers. I remember during COVID, they kind of cheer me up. You know, there was nothing else going on. Kind of just be sitting indoors watching Tiger King and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, when the Friday rolled around, the Thomas Tuchel pressers were always brought joy to my heart, to be honest. But Maresca's started pretty well with his presser game. We won't speak about Potter's presser game. I mean, that was pretty appalling. But Maresca's presser game started pretty well, but dipped a little bit recently. But I have to say, in the presser today, which was at 10 a.m. this morning, he did come back. He came out fighting in this one. He actually, believe it or not, gave us a tangible target. He wasn't wishy-washy in his target for the season. He said that, you know, top four is the target. And it was a clear change of tack from Maresca, you know. And he said that, like, well, actually, it was a probably very quotable thing that he said. He said, I'm not here to survive, but to win titles. Now, that's a clear change of direction from where Maresca said before, where he said, you know, I haven't been given targets in 10 to 50, 5 to 10 years and things like that. And he even said, went on to say that since day one, my intention is to win games and titles to bring this club to where it deserves to be. So I'm not sure if he's been watching Gladiator last night or just been Googling great speeches of the 21st century, but his tone has like definitely changed. And yeah, I think it was what Chelsea, I mean, not that every Chelsea fan, I think even Match Ground fans actually listen to the presser. I think maybe ourselves in podcasts and maybe I won't say engage, but it isn't always the most entertaining thing to listen to on a Friday. You know, probably be at work. But if you listen to that presser, it is encouraging that he's actually, you know, giving tangible targets and he's actually sounding a little bit more, this sounds a bit kind of, not, this sounds a little bit, I don't know how to say, cliche, but he is sounding a bit more like a Chelsea manager, which is good because, you know, we need that as a fan. You know, 3 wins in 10 isn't good enough. But I think Matt Law said recently that on the London's Blue podcast, this, the messaging really hasn't helped. You know, if you're sending out a strong message that we'll recover, we'll get through this, it's a blip, we accept performances are not good enough, but we'll get back there again. I think the fans, I think you can get your fans on the side a little bit. And I am a believer in like kind of narrative and, you know, just getting the fans on board a little bit more. Just moving on in the press in terms of what else he was asked. He was actually, again, quite clever, quite coy about, he was asked about the protest, which I'm not sure if you know. I mean, some of these protests, it is literally like 12 men and a dog turning up, let's be honest. But there is a big protest planned. Well, I'm not sure how big it is, to be honest, but I've heard about it. That on Tuesday, everyone's coming out on Tuesday night, coming out from work to do a protest for Southampton at home. And he was asked about that by the Athletic's correspondent, Chelsea correspondent, Simon Johnson. And he actually had a very clever answer. Maresca said, well, all I know is we've got 7 home games left in the league. And if we win all of those, then we will get very likely get Champions League qualification. And that's a little bit of a message to the fans, I think, saying that we need you to be our 12th man rather than having 12 men outside. See what I did there? But yeah, I think he's clearly saying that he would, well, obviously, he would much rather see the fans getting behind the team rather than protesting outside the ground. And I think it's fair to say, I mean, Craig, me and Craig differ on this, where I'm a believer in the crowd can get the team going, you know. You know, even my dad's a Celtic supporter, and they have a section where basically they have an ultra section. And you know, ultras are a controversial thing in football. None of them have them at Milan. But one thing that they do is they do really generate the crowd. I mean, they have 2,000-3,000 fans at Celtic Park, even when they're playing like Dundee, you know, Dundee at home or whoever, St Johnstone at home, kind of a dead game, just singing the whole time. And I'm not saying that we want an ultra section with, you know, their faces covered with blue masks going through the streets of Fulham, because I don't think that would go down very well. But I do think that it would be good to generate kind of a furnace of an atmosphere at Stamford Bridge. You know, we're not going to be at Stamford Bridge forever. And it's very close to the pitch. It can be on Champions League night. It can be a real fortress in terms of the noise and intimidating for teams. I know Gary Neville spoke about he hated going to Stamford Bridge because you're close to the pitch and a little bit like the old Upton Park. So, yeah, I think it was a good messaging from Maresca. And it was a much, much better press conference from him. Moving on to actually talking about the game. We've got Aston Villa this Saturday, one of my favourite kickoffs, actually. I do like a 5:30 Sky Sports game. Much better than a 2 p.m. on a Sunday one. I absolutely detest that. Moving on to Villa. I mean, Villa, obviously, this year have... They've been very good in the Champions League, obviously winning against Bayern at home, and they came in the top eight of the Champions League group, which obviously, you know, I don't even remember the last time they were in the Champions League. Obviously, they've won the European Cup before, but yeah, I mean, they haven't been in top five of Europe for a long, long time, and to kind of like comfortably get through in the top eight was a massive achievement for them. I think they've actually been given a fairly favourable last 16 tie against Club Brugge as well, so they could easily, well, they've got a decent chance of getting into quarterfinals. You would say that a lot of them, you know, really good performances this year have been saved for the Champions League. They've been up and down in the league. I actually had a look at the understat, which is the kind of the XG, XA and XP stats, XP being X points, for the Premier League. And, you know, Chelsea have 43 points and we've actually only been expected to get 41. So this kind of narrative that we've kind of got less points than we should have is actually false. We're actually overachieving a little bit this year. We should have scored more goals than we have, but we've actually, our defence has been probably, we've got a mid-table to low mid-table defence, really. And that's been really holding us back. I think since the injury of Wesley Fofana, there's clearly been a drop-off in defence. And in terms of Villa, they only have 38 points, but they've been expected to get 40. So in terms of expected points, Chelsea have got 41. Or Chelsea should have 41 points. Okay, should have, but their expected points is 41. And Villa's is 40. So really, the teams are quite evenly matched in that sense. The one thing that does differentiate the teams is that we do have a far superior goal difference. But one of the main reasons for that is that Villa, I've only scored 35 goals this year, which when you consider that John Duran, obviously he's left now to Saudi, but they had Duran and Watkins in the team, a lot of other talented players, obviously they just picked up Rashford, Asensio, they've had Leon Bailey before, they've got Leon Bailey who's been coming back to injury, they've got a lot of... They've even got a player like Ben Dia. He's quite a good player on the bench. They've just got Morgan Rogers had a really good game. They've got a lot of attacking depth, I'd say, and a lot of quite dynamic players up there. But they've actually scored 10 less goals than they should have this year. So it's one of the biggest differences in between actual goals and expected goals in the league this year. They've only got 35 goals in the third, and they should have expected to get 45. And I think one of the main reasons for that is that Ollie Watkins has actually missed 21 big chances this year, which is actually six more than Nick Jackson. So Nick Jackson, slow down a little bit because, you know, Nick's a paltry amount of big chances missed compared to Ollie Watkins. So, yeah, Watkins, even I remember last year, even though I think he was near one of the top scorers in the league, he does miss a lot of big chances. So, yeah, they clearly their chance conversion is clearly not be good enough. I'm not sure if it's chance creation or conversion, most likely conversion if they're underachieving on their XG. But yeah, I mean, Villa have been a little bit of, it feels like a season for them where they maybe can have a deep run in the Champions League. And the further that goes on, they'll struggle in the league, right? Like they'll maybe sneak sixth or seventh. But if they go out the Champions League early, I think they could easily be a real threat for top four, well, top five as it is very likely to be. So yeah, in terms of this game, Axel Disasi will be ineligible to play. So he's actually made himself useful for once this season by giving Emery a bit more of a headache in defence. Even though that Ezri Konsa will likely be fit for this game. Well, he's got a late fitness test, but that would be a huge boost for them because he can slot in next to Tyrone Mings. So that's a little bit frustrating for us in that they've probably got their, I think you'd say, well, I know Pau Torres has been out for a while, but probably one of their like preferred centre-back pairings back for this game. And obviously, we're pretty weak in attack. So, yeah, that could be a kind of deciding factor in this game. Moving on to the classic predicted lineup. I mean, it just with our injury problems, we've probably got 14 players who can fit 11. So, in terms of actually players who can start the game or be effective as subs before you start going into the Cobham kids are going to be on the bench. I think Jorgensen will be in goal. Even though, I'm not sure if you saw, Robert Sanchez went bald to try and impress Maresca. Actually, Maresca joked that, you know, he went bald to try and impress him, so he'd play him again, so that's quite a good joke. Again, very good presser from Maresca. It was like 8 out of 10. Very impressed. I think it'd be Jorgensen in goal. I think the back four, I think Jack, I've lambasted or I lamented, probably a better word, that Reece James didn't start the last game. I know Craig said he had some fitness issues and they kind of gave him a planned break, but I don't massively agree with that strategy in terms of, because he looked pretty fit to me, especially in the Brighton cameo that he came on. So but I think Reece James needs to start this game. I think Cucurella and Cole will start. I think that second centre-back slot is up for debate. I've gone for Tosin just because of a bit of physicality. Villa are quite a physical team. He has got good leadership qualities, as has Trev Chalobah, to be fair. But I think Tosin, Chalobah, I'm a big fan of Trev, but he hasn't been great in the last few games. But then again, Tosin isn't really the great playing high line either. So it is a bit difficult. Who are you going to stick on Ollie Watkins, who he's going to run the channel, and you're going to Rashford? So, you know, I think Chelsea, if they have to play a high line in this game, it's going to be tough, really, because they've got, you know, Tosin and Colwell, who are not all the quickest and a little bit more better centre-backs, like facing, you know, kind of playing deeper and ball-playing centre-backs in that sense. So we might have some problems wherever we start. But I've gone for Tosin, so it'd be James Tosin. So, excuse me, Cole Will and Cooker out the back. I think Enzo and Caicedo will be, obviously, be in midfield. I'd be very surprised if he starts Dewsbury Hall in this game. I think he'll be the Enzo Caicedo pivot. Now, this is where I'm going to be different, a little bit controversial or, you know, differential or different from maybe what a lot of fans would expect. I'm actually going to suggest that we play Christopher Nkunku left 10. I mean, I've been saying this for a long time and probably getting boring on the WhatsApp group of Craig and Chris, but when we use him in the left 10 and your Cucurella providing the width from the left. So in this game, I would recommend that Cucurella provides the width from the left. Reece James would invert. And it'd be tossing. Yeah, Reece James would essentially be right centre back. So it'd be Carl Will tossing and James inverting with Cucurella providing the width from the left. And then Nkunku tucking in a little bit on the left hand side. So he'd be quite close to Cole Palmer, which I know they probably hate each other. They'll hate that because it looks like they want to punch each other at the moment as much as they shout at each other. But he would tuck in a little bit, come into central areas, drift in, play that left 10, left forward role that he did really well for Leipzig. I love Cole Palmer in a 10. You could play Tyreek George there, but to chuck him in this game, I think, would be quite a lot. So I might put Jadon Sancho on the right. Sancho has played pretty well on the right before. And I know he played a lot there for a fair amount there for Dortmund. And I would actually put Pedro Neto in the false nine position. My main reasons for this are that, in my opinion, you know, the double nine or the double nine and a half, the double 9.7, the Palmer and with Palmer and Kunku just doesn't work. They both drop too deep. They get in each other's way and somehow seem to be isolated from each other in the same game, as impossible as that seems. Neto will press a lot better and he will punish Villa's high line a lot better than Kunku will. And I think you still want to try and get Nkunku and Palmer and Neto on the in the same team, obviously. And it isn't ideal. I mean, a lot of people will just say, put Sancho on the left, Neto on the right, and then just have Palmer 10 and Nkunku 9. But it's pretty clear that Christopher Nkunku is not really working in a 9. And, you know, Maresca changed it up, changed tact a little bit off the pitch. I think it might be time for him to change a little bit on the pitch because we are becoming a little bit predictable, I think, the way we play a little bit. And, you know, there's a clear model to play against Chelsea. And I think just mixing it up a little bit, putting Neto false nine, which he did play a little bit for Wolves there. I mean, I know it isn't ideal, but I think it could be a different little flavour that could help us in this game. Because I think, you know, Villa played this week against Liverpool, but they've had three home games in a row. And they've been willing to chop up minutes and rotate players. So I think they'll be pretty fresh for this game. So it's going to be a very difficult game. They're going to be really up for it. You know, the whole 10 at Villa Park is going to be bouncing in this game. So, yeah, it's a big game. So, I think freshening it up a little bit will be really nice. Going on to your predictions, I'm going to go for my... There's goals in the game. I'm going to go 2-2. It just feels like a kind of game. I don't see us keeping a clean sheet. I have Levi Colwill in FPL. He's absolutely nowhere near my first 11. I might actually try and email FPL and try and get him out of my team so there's no chance of points coming in because unless he nicks a goal or assist, I think we've got a 21% chance to keep a clean sheet in this game. But it feels a little bit more like 2.1%. I mean, we've just got no chance, I think, to keep a clean sheet in this game the way we're playing against a kind of vibrant, rejuvenated Villa attack. But I do think we can score goals, so I think we'll go for 2-2. And to be honest, I would say a good draw in this game, to be frank. You know, we've got Southampton and Leicester, like I mentioned before, at home next up and in the Arsenal game. I would take 7 points. I basically take a draw in this game and then just and winning, obviously, Southampton Leicester at home and then going into the Arsenal game as not a bit of a free shot, but just if we can get 8 points from the next four games, 2 points per game, which we haven't done in a while, I think you snap your hand off for that going into Tottenham at home on April the 2nd, like I said, with a lot of our players apparently back. So, Craig, Mr. Glass Half Full, has gone for 2-1 Chelsea. Surprise, surprise. I mean, he doesn't usually. I mean, to be fair to Craig, he is quite balanced with his predictions, but he's gone for 2-1 Chelsea. You see what he's gone for there, similar to me, but maybe thinks we'll keep a bit tighter than I do. But yeah, fair enough. And the big shock is that Chris McCorkle has gone for 3-1 to Aston Villa. So that really shows the signs of the times. I mean, I'm not sure if there's a man outside my house with an apocalypse sign saying, you know, the world is going to end. But when Chris is saying that that Villa are going to win 3-1, you know, you might want to get in the nuclear shelter because the world might be about to end. It's dark times, let's put it that way. Anyway, this has been a fun one, and that's all I've got time for today, but I hope you enjoyed that. And my delivery, this is my first ever solo pod, so I do tend to speak a bit fast and mumbly, but hopefully it was okay. And hopefully my delivery will age like fine wine as the week goes on. And yeah, it will be myself, like I said, sometimes with Craig and Chris dipping in. Obviously, it's better if there's a few of us, but we want to try and get more than... I've always said that on X, and if you could follow us on X, that'd be great. And we are aware that a lot of our listeners already do follow us on X. But if you could share the word with your friends or family or whoever, your colleagues at work about ESCR, get us our X following up a little bit, that'd be fantastic. And we do realise that we are saying that, you know, we need to get more content out, and we know it's difficult to get video content out at the moment because of the editing and things like that, but we definitely want to try and get more audio content out 2-3 times a week. So this is kind of the start of that. So for any updates on ESCR, like I said, you can follow us on X at Eat Sleep Chelsea and Instagram at Eat Sleep Chelsea Repeat. And last but not least, as always, I hope you're carefree wherever you may be, and thank you for listening.
I hope you're carefree wherever you may be. Thanks for listening. Hi, I'm Graham Lasseau, and you're listening to Eat, Sleep, Chelsea, Repeat with Chris, Craig and Brady.